Welcome back to another episode of the All That Podcast. Today is a kind of a special edition under unfortunate circumstances with the coronavirus. But with me today, I have County Judge KP Georgia's Chief of Staff, Terrell Patel, who is also the youngest Chief of Staff in county history. And we also went to the same high school. So how are you, Terrell?
I'm doing really well, and with that introduction, I don't know how I could do better.
I mean, you earned it, man. You made history.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's important to inspire other young people, and I think that's been one of my goals, is people our age are smart, they work hard, they get it, they know what are the issues that impact us. As long as you work hard and you care, you can achieve a lot of different things and make a difference in your community at the same time.
Right. I think even me, I think I'm a grade above you, I believe. But even me, you inspire me. I see you on Facebook, you know, posing with President Obama. You're all, you know, everywhere in the political circles. And I'm like, man, this guy is doing it.
Well, and you know, one thing about all those kinds of things is a lot of time when people pursue something that seems a little bit out of the ordinary or out of their reach, they give up. And my advice is the exact opposite. The more out of reach it is, keep trying to get to it, because the harder you work, and yeah, you know, of course you'll fail. I have many times, but never in my, you know, early time when I got involved in Fort Bend County politics back then, when everything was solid red, that my boss would have won. But we lost many campaigns before coming to this day where we flipped every countywide seat that was to flip, and are doing a great job of governing, making our county government more transparent and open to the public. And responding to things like science and data in a 21st century fashion. And if we didn't lose all those battles back in the day and built on our failures, we wouldn't be here today. But in 2008, if somebody was joking to you saying Fort Bend County would ever vote Democratic or flip their pattern, or places like Cinco Ranch and Katy would be changing demographically as much as they've had, a lot of people wouldn't have believed you. But we did a lot of that, you know, backbenching work to get it done, and this is where we are, and now we only can build on that progress.
Wow. So, you know, I thought this podcast was going to be about the coronavirus, but now I'm thinking we need to do a masterclass with you, man. I'm going to have to have you back on the show, because your story is definitely inspiring, and people need, especially young people, need to hear it. So Terrell is also leading the coronavirus response for Fort Bend County, and tomorrow we open back up. Can you tell us how that process has been, getting everything back and running semi-normal? Because I know things can only open like with 25% capacity.
Yeah, and I'll do a kind of brief overview, and then we can talk about what's going to happen tomorrow when the big switch of midnight happens. So a county judge is sometimes a wrong term, but a county judge is essentially the county executive. Back in the day when that term was created, that person did serve as, you know, a local judge and the CEO of the county. And that's what that role is. But as counties have become bigger and bigger and bigger, that role has turned more into the CEO role as opposed to actually practicing or exercising judgment over cases that are brought forward to the law. So one example of that is my boss is the director of emergency management for Fort Bend County. And that's set by the Texas Constitution. So whether it's a pandemic, it's a hurricane, which are usually par for the course when it comes to emergencies in our area. He's the director of emergency management. So underneath him, we coordinate that response in a strategic and data-driven fashion to make sure we use limited taxpayer dollars to make the best decision against the well-being of our residents. So about a month ago, we decided to follow the science. We know there's only two ways to stop this virus. Only two ways. And through any pandemic playbook, it'll tell you the same thing. One is a vaccine. We don't have that. Two is social distancing, so that the virus cannot spread and you can contain it in the people that currently have it and watch them recover. And that's about it. So when you only have two tools against something and one of those tools doesn't exist yet, we implemented a stay home to save lives order, which, you know, hurts a lot of people when it comes to business, economy, kids going to school. It's not an easy decision for anybody to make, but when your only tool is this one item, we decided to do it. And it's the first time Fort Bend County or Harris County in our areas have done something like that since, I think, the 1917 Spanish flu. It was a big decision, and our counties have grown a lot since then. In 1970, Forbin County had close to 70,000 people, and now we're almost at 1 million people.
Wow.
So telling 1 million people, you know, there's a lot of essential workers and people like that that do have to go into work, but telling almost 1 million people that you're going to stay at home for a month is a very, very tough decision. But we have seen great levels of success of people following the order. They understand why it's important. And we have seen the results in our graphs and data showing that even with this time being the peak, it is not as bad as the original modeling expected. Our death rate is under 50 people in the county. Yesterday was a big milestone for us where we hit over 1,000 cases, positive confirmed cases in Forbin County. These numbers will continue fluctuating up because we're opening a lot more testing sites. The only way to understand how big and bad of a problem this is by increasing testing. So we have visuals on the ground of the rate of the spread of a disease like this. So tomorrow in Missouri City at Thurgood Marshall High School, we're opening up the county's third testing site. So the more we expand it, the more people that have symptoms and that don't have symptoms get tested. We can tell them, like, hey, Kyrie, you don't have symptoms, but guess what? Shows you're positive on the test, stay home 14 days, don't spread it to anybody. Mm-hmm. So by taking you off that timeline, we don't have that issue of you spreading the virus to anybody. But if you don't get tested, we may not even know that you're a carrier and you're spreading it to a lot of places. So that's what the science and the data tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is, you know, we got a letter from our governor about a week ago that says that, hey, this executive order is coming. And the executive order to reopen Texas is one that says that local orders cannot be more restrictive than my order. So essentially, you know, it's a message of us telling him, he's telling us that he's the top dog, and this is the decision that's made for Texas. And we hope it's the right decision, right? At the end of the day, the health and well-being of our residents is the top priority. So if this plan to reopen Texas continues to drive the cases of coronavirus down in our community, that's a great sign. But while we're opening things up, as people are hurting economically, it's important to still know that each of our actions is what's going to make the difference. We all have the power within us. It's not us forcing other people to do other things. If we all decide that we want to be socially distant, we stay at home when we don't have to be anywhere else, do things like that, we have the tools to defeat the virus that are, you know, in our own hands, very doable. But tomorrow, a variety of different businesses will be allowed to open up. And essentially, when midnight hits, a lot of these different businesses like retail, movie theaters, malls, will be able to open up as long as it's only 25% of their original load capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So if a movie theater had 100 people, a capacity for 100 people, only 25% could show up. And the Department of Health, State Health and Human Services has come up with, you know, guidelines and checklists and things like that for a lot of these places to follow and say, hey, if you have a customer at a movie theater, once the movie's done, you go in and disinfect it in this way. To make sure you're not spreading or you're mitigating the risk of spreading the virus. That's one thing. Another big thing we're going to see tomorrow is increasing tons and tons of like curbside service, retail to go, services, things like that, which makes sense because you're socially distant, but you still get your product that you're buying from the store or whatever it might be. So it is important to make sure that, you know, our business community opens up. It's just, in our perspective, it is important to make sure that our residents are aware that, you know, things are opening up, but we all need to still continue doing the things that we're doing by staying socially distant, washing our hands, not touching our faces. Because at the end of the day, yeah, it may not affect me and you that much, Kyrie, because we're young,
right. But
it definitely affects people who are older, people we know who may have other conditions like cancer that are immunocompromised. So that's who we're trying to protect, our most vulnerable community members. They need us. They depend on us to make sure this virus doesn't spread.
Have you guys seen a lot of complaints, like people calling in or writing you? Because if you look on social media, the majority of the reaction to us opening as a state has been, you know, not received well with the citizens. I remember somebody sharing a post about how Georgia opened up and their cases like went crazy, went way up with the coronavirus. So what do you say to people who feel like we're making the wrong decision?
I would say first, I wish we had the power to make the decision at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the governor's order, I would say, you know, contact the governor's office or your legislator to see if you can change that. The reason the county judge is the director for emergency management for their jurisdiction is we know our community's best. We're here every single day. We know the kinds of education that our community has, the kinds of things that they're willing to follow, the kinds of things that they would not like, which is why if we had the ability to help make that decision, you know, a lot of people in our community do want to see things like a stay-at-home order continue,
mm-hmm.
and then slowly phasing different things in. And if we made that decision at the local level, we may get better support to do it. But because it was made at a statewide blanket level that this is what's going to happen, regardless of what local officials think, essentially, it's alarming that, you know, one state official can call that shot. But I would tell people, you know, if you don't support it, call the governor's office, call your state representative, call your state senator, get the word out. Tell them that, hey, this is the sign. This is what we want to do. The other thing I'll say, and I'll be frank and upfront with everybody, is mm-hmm. even though the governor's order says allows places to open up, you don't have to. If
True.
You are worried about coronavirus spreading, like many people rightfully are and should be based on what they've seen in other countries, other states, you don't have to open up. You can stay closed. You can take the most important social distancing practices, like doing delivery and curbside and stuff. This just allows permission for mostly larger companies that have the capacity to do these kinds of things and take a lot of precautions and measures to open up. So that's a big piece of it, too. You got to look at who are the folks making the decisions or helping make the decisions. If you look at the economic recovery strike team the government created, most of those are represented by really large business interests. So your mom and pop store might not want to do the same because they may not have the resources to do the same. And I think that's reflective of not having a committee that's made up of, you know, Texas's economic diversity, which is big businesses, small businesses, and all sorts of different businesses.
Right.
I hope that helps.
It does. It does. It's a great answer. So the coronavirus has affected our lives in many different ways. And one way that one of my listeners brought to my attention last night, she was worried about what's going to happen as far as graduation goes. So, because she lives in Los Angeles, and so she said she was in kind of like a limbo, and she didn't know she needed to fly down here for graduation. Will it be virtual? So, what would you tell her? Do you have any insight on that?
I mean, the first thing is, I still remember my high school graduation, college graduation, some of the happiest moments of my life, right?
Right.
So I empathize with your friend who is unable to maybe come back or, you know, do the kinds of normal things that we did in our graduations, which is really unfortunate. But it's up to each school district on how to respond. If she's a student at KDISD, I would recommend her checking out the KDISD website to see what their plans are. A lot of the school districts, I know Fort Bend ISD, they're doing some kind of virtual graduation, but also postponing the ceremony to a later time and date so that they can do one in person, but with the right proper social distancing example. One really good example of a social distancing ceremony that was done was in Colorado at the one of the Air Force bases, where the new cadets for the Space Force had their inaugural graduating class or something of that nature. And if you look at pictures of it, it's a really interesting concept because they still did it in person, but people were just spaced out, you know, to meet the social distancing requirements, and there were sanitary practices and things like that. So I think a lot of school districts are taking their time to come up with the best answer, because the worst thing to happen is, you know, we do a graduation and the virus spreads very quickly to our grandparents, parents, and others that are there to cheer us on for a very happy moment in our lives.
Right.
So I think school districts are working hard to plan it. I would recommend checking out the website or reaching out to the individual school district to see what their plans are, because not all of them have been developed yet. But I think in the near future, next week or so, most of those plans will start becoming more clear.
Right. Speaking of schooling, at one point they were different schools were giving out meals to families. Is that still a thing? And if so, what schools are doing that?
Yeah, so KDISD, Fort Bend ISD, Lamar Consolidated, in our area are the main ones still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is going to continue throughout the summer, I know Fort Bend County as a whole, we do have a summer meal distribution program that we do, you know, regardless of coronavirus or not. So we're going to have our program as well. But actually, you know, this is not news we've shared yet, but Fort Bend County is going to partner with our school districts, not only to support their efforts for the meal distribution, but we are going to work to help get out masks with those meals so that the residents not only get a meal, grab to go, but also can get a mask so that they can go out to places and be protected with that personal protective equipment. So for the near future, I believe KDISD, Lamar Consolidated, and Fort Bend ISD, which are the biggest ones in Fort Bend County, continuing the program. And then we look forward to partnering with them to also provide those cloth facial masks for people who come to get the grab-to-go lunches.
Wow. That's really neat. Okay.
Yeah. who would have thought that, you know, we needed grab-to-go lunches all the time and face masks, but
I know, right?
The new norm.
I know, right? I want to ask you, and this is just like your personal opinion. Do you think that we will ever experience our normal again after experiencing what we've been through these past couple of months? Do you think we'll ever get back to our normal?
That's a great question. I think one of my understandings in life has essentially been the only constant is change. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredible example of that. I wish it was in a better format. But yeah, I think so. I definitely think this has changed the way we do business, schooling, human interaction, period. I have now become a master of WebEx and Zoom and all these things that I rarely used before.
Right.
But moving forward, you know, even after this pandemic, instead of me driving to somebody's office or this or that, I can get stuff done quickly at my desk because now I'm, you know, very knowledgeable and everybody else in our community is knowledgeable how to use this stuff.
Right.
Like distance learning is definitely going to become a much more used resource. People are going to go home. There's going to be tutoring online. And we have had these resources, but it's never been like, you must use them now.
Right.
So even if you look at like Kyrie, businesses that have closed down and we're talking about the economic hurt that a lot of people are going through, mm-hmm. the businesses that are doing really well are the online ones, like Netflix, streaming, Zoom services,
yes.
delivery, digital stuff. Those guys are making more money than they've ever made before. And it's a new norm. Also for health related stuff, I'm a big, you know, handshake person, hug person. I don't think that's going to be the new norm anymore. I think people are going to be a little bit more
right.
Cognizant of, you know, keeping space, keeping distance, or at least cleaning themselves properly after, you know, they have physical interaction. So it's a very new world that we live in, because we know that, yeah, this is one strain of a virus, but it only takes 0.01% for a mutation to get out of control and do something like this again. So,
right.
Whether it's a hurricane or anything else.
Right.
You know,
I kind of had a thought that in a way, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry, but in a way, this pandemic was a blessing in disguise. Now, I want to say that, you know, I want to be sensitive to people, you know, who, you know, can't go to
yeah.
work, you know, struggling for money,
right.
that thing. But in one way, it's a blessing in disguise because now, you know, you have to sit with yourself. You have to face yourself if you didn't want to do that before. You have more time to get things done. You know, at this time,
yeah.
While you're sitting at home, you can come up with business ideas. You can learn a new language.
Yeah.
Like, and I think
absolutely.
our everyday life schedule of work, home, work, home, work, home, work, home was, you know,
mm-hmm.
and now we have all this free time. And I think it's good to reflect, to learn new things like you alluded to learn yourself. You know,
yeah.
I was looking at,
yeah.
you know, women, you know, they can't go get their hair done, nails done, you know, no
yeah,
reason to put on makeup.
Too.
Yeah, so you have to sit at home, you know, just really, really appreciate you and your natural essence, you know. So I
yeah.
think, you know, in those ways, and it's been a blessing, and, you know, spending more time with family because you're forced to. So
right.
I think in that way, it's been a blessing.
Whether you like it or not, you got to face yourself and your family.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So yeah, that's all I had. Did you have anything that you wanted to, tell everybody, before you go?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually just a tailspin of what you said. One really interesting example of this pandemic is, you know, our frontline responders, they're working 24/7 to help contain the spread of this virus and things of that nature. But when it comes to our call volume, how many calls are EMS, emergency medical services, departments are getting all throughout the country, they're trending down a lot. Like the volume they're getting calls is a lot less. Mm-hmm. The calls that they do receive are usually the tougher ones because there are people who are infected and they got to be more careful with and things like that. But the reason the calls have gone down so much is because people are not out doing the usual things they are out doing that get themselves in trouble. So
yeah.
Now you have people at home who are exercising, reading books, going online to learn new languages, you know, learning musical instruments, all sorts of different things. So I would say to people, it's like, you know, things are opening up again, but it's important that social distancing is the only tool we have to defeat this thing. Use it as a time to better yourselves. Carrie, you couldn't have put it better. This is an opportunity that nobody's had before for you to take advantage of, because now you have your own time to be in control of. Yes, right. The economic stuff hurts. Thankfully, our government at the federal level is passing enough stuff to make sure that we have money coming into our bank accounts and paychecks to make ends meet. But until coronavirus at least is mitigated to a level where we can start opening things back to normal again, take advantage of it. I think a lot of people are going to discover that they have hidden skills or talents that they haven't explored before. So use it as an opportunity, but also know that you're doing the right thing by protecting the people we care for and love the most.
Right.
That's all I got.
Thank you. Thank you. As a resident of Fort Bend County, I want to say thank you personally for all your work you've done on the coronavirus front and beyond that, even the work you've done, period. Being you and, you know, being an example for young people, older people, myself, to look to and to be inspired and to know that anything is achievable. So thank you. I will definitely have you back on the show. So don't go too far. don't go to Washington yet.
No, I won't. And I appreciate Kyrie. You're doing, helping connect the dots with young people in the community to good things that are happening. So we couldn't do it without folks like you. And glad to say we're fellow Cougars and saw some great stuff at Think Ranch. Continue to make a positive difference. If anybody ever needs anything from the county, you know, look up Google Fort Bend County Judge KP George, call our office, and I'll do everything I can to help you guys.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. See you later.
All right. Adios.